afternoon.
The Caspersons are all together. They're sitting all together. It just warms my heart.
Well, we are getting close to one of the most amazing holy days. I mean, which clearly shows just how special we are to God. I mean, Pentecost represents the very power of God being made available to us. So today, I would like to look at a story of a man who, just like us, had a very special calling. Who, just like us, had the very power of God working in his life to achieve these extraordinary tasks. And yet, he gave into something that caused him to walk right out of God's purpose for him. He became blind and bound and broken. Today, I would like to look at Samson. Here we have a man that was very special to God, and yet, spiritually speaking, he was short-sighted. He looked only as far as his next fleshly sensation. I mean, his sinful indulgence cut himself off from the flow of God's power. And this is precisely one of the lessons that we can learn from Samson's life. I mean, his story shows us sin can definitely sideline us from any service that God might want us to do. I mean, no amount of special talents or ability can guarantee us success in the Christian life. It really is only a surrender and obedience and a relationship with Jesus Christ that really can guarantee us success. So let's examine Samson's life and take note of some of the mistakes that he made so we can not repeat them. So to set the stage, let's start with the circumstances surrounding Samson's conception. Please turn to Judges chapter 13. And here, once again, we have the nation of Israel backsliding into bondage. In verse 1 of chapter 13 of Judges, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. I mean, this whole story of Israel from the very beginning is just this. Their history is just this repeated on-again and off-again relationship with God. And the problem at this point, as it was so many times before, was one of idolatry. So in judgment, God permitted the Philistines to oppress them. In fact, they oppressed the whole nation. And with the life of a Christian, with the life of us, really, the nature of sin is no different. Sin will bring us into bondage if we yield to it. I mean, sin promises to fulfill, but delivers failure over and over and over again. So let's continue in Judges 13. We see that Manoah's wife was barren. Verse 2. And there was a certain man named Zoar of the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was sterile and remained childless. So in those days, not being able to have a child was viewed as a sign of God's disfavor. And God in his wisdom has a subtle way of getting the point that he's trying to make across. God probably permitted Samson, a deliverer, to be born to an infertile woman, not only to show his power, but also to say to Israel, look, as a nation, you are spiritually barren. You are spiritually unproductive. So through the birth of Samson, God wanted to demonstrate the fact that he was willing to turn barrenness into a blessing, if Israel was willing to repent and turn back to him. So an angel made an important announcement. But there would be conditions in Samson's conception. And we'll read that in verse 4, Judges 13. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink or eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for this child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Well, the laws pertaining to the vow of a Nazarite can be found in Numbers 6 and verses 2 through 21. And in many cases, one who took the vow of being a Nazarite did so only for a specific length of time. And during this time, this person would be wholly separated unto God. And he demonstrated this by eating and drinking nothing that came from a vine or anything that was, or touching anything that was ceremonially unclean, by not cutting their hair and not coming in the proximity of anything that was dead. But the difference in Samson's case was that he was made to be a Nazarite from his conception in the womb until the day he died. I mean, he was to be God's special instrument. I mean, Samson's calling was a call of dedication. And Samson's whole life was to be lived out in a total commitment and service toward God. And really, isn't that the same calling that God is giving to each one of us? I mean, with baptism, we make a total commitment to God. Let's keep reading in verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, or actually, Luke 16, verse 13, we see that no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. I mean, Samson was also called to be a deliverer. In verse 5 of Judges 13, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I mean, Samson was to be this living example of God's great power to deliver. I mean, the name Samson comes from the Hebrew word that means strong. I mean, Samson's mission in life was to be an instrument of deliverance for the nation of Israel. And the power that God's Spirit had in his life was very evident from very early in his life. Let's go to verse 24. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. But what we're going to start seeing here is that even though Samson was very special, he became corrupt. And you'll find the story of Samson in Judges chapter 13 through chapter 16. And I would encourage all of you to read the story, and you'll just see just bad decision after bad decision in this man's life. I mean, his life was quite eventful, and sometimes it was downright horrifying to read some of the experiences that he went through. And chapter 14 tells us of a wedding that just went very bad, where in a sense his best man ended up with his would-be wife. And we see him falling into a pattern of anger and revenge. But then we see in the last verse of chapter 15 that he overcame some of the attitudes and some of his early mistakes because he ended up leading Israel for 20 years. But in chapter 16, as we keep reading the story, he falls back into this pattern of sin, which really caused his fall and eventually his death. Let's look at some of the things that Samson did. And you can see the power of God's Spirit produce just this extraordinary events in his life. In chapter 14 of Judges, I mean, he killed a lion with his bare hands. Verse 5 of 14. And behold, a young lion came running toward him, roaring. Like that would be scary, right? And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And continuing in chapter 14, we see that he single-handedly killed 30 Philistines that were trying to kill him. Verse 19, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town, and he took their spoil and gave garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house. And we see another just this extraordinary thing that he did in chapter 15, where he killed 1,000 Philistines, 1,000 people with the jawbone of a donkey. Judges 15, verse 14. And when he came to Leah, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. And then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that had caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, and he put out his hand and he took it and he struck 1,000 men dead. I mean, this incident was truly a miraculous feat. But it's sobering here to learn that this is the last time that the words "and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him" was used when referring to Samson. Because after chapter 15, that terminology is not used again. Because you see, sin short circuits the power of God in a Christian life. It always has, and it always will. I mean, great ability used outside of God's power really is just an exercise in pride. It means nothing. And this really is evident in the life of Samson. I mean, self-will and pride were apparent in his life. I mean, Samson's pride and self-will was evidenced by him knowingly violating the Nazarite code. And we see that in Judges 14, and we'll start reading in verse 8. And he turned aside to see the carcass of a lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. And he scraped it out with his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother, and he gave them some of the honey, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he scraped the honey from the carcass of a lion. And carcass of a lion is, in a sense, a type of corruption of sin. I mean, the Nazarites weren't supposed to come near anything unclean. They weren't supposed to touch anything that was dead because it would make them ceremoniously unclean. So just as Samson went to stay away, I mean, was to stay away from the corruption of death, we too are to stay away from sin. Really, what results in our spiritual corruption, and eventually it can lead to our death. James 1 verse 15 talks just about this. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. I mean, Samson's pride was also evidenced by him demanding to take a Philistine wife. In Judges 14 verse 3, then his father and mother said to him, "If there is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all the people that thou shalt go out and take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistine?" And Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." I mean, the Israelites were forbidden to marry by God to marry the heathens or the Philistines. But Samson's father didn't want him to marry. I mean, Samson's father wanted him to marry somebody from their own tribe, but Samson did not take his father's advice. He wanted to marry whom he wanted to marry. And on the way to the wedding feast, this is where Samson killed the lion. And at that wedding, which typically takes 7 days back then, he made a bet with the Philistines and he told them a riddle, which was commonly a custom back at that time. And the riddle was about, as you know, killing the lion and getting the honey. And eventually, his would-be wife betrayed him and told the others what the answer to the riddle was. Well, then he ended up not marrying her and violently sought revenge. And God, sort of via this whole riddle fiasco, overruled Samson's self-will and pride and used the marriage as an occasion for God against the enemies of Israel. And Samson's pride and self-will was evidenced by him showing off at Gaza. So in order to mock his enemies, he ripped off the gates to the city. And we see that in Judges 16, verse 3. And Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city by the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders, and he carried them off the top of a hill to somewhere far away. I mean, to rip off these brass gates was no small feat. I mean, brass is heavy. It's probably extremely heavy. However, what's even more remarkable is the fact that once he removed them, he carried them on his shoulders 40 miles away. That's how far the town was that he carried them to. I mean, and this served little purpose other than for him to show off his physical strength while he was antagonizing his enemies. And it's funny, whenever you see a movie about Samson, he's always this big giant-looking guy, and he's got these huge muscles. And but you know, in real life, I doubt that that was true. I personally think he probably looked just like any other guy, because they kept saying, where is he getting his strength from? Where is this guy getting his strength from? If he was some big giant-looking guy, I don't think they would ask that. Well, besides becoming very arrogant, Samson also had a problem with sensuality. I mean, he talked about his originally wanting to marry a Philistine woman. And in Judges 16, verse 1, we see that Samson went to Gaza and he used a prostitute. And he also took up with Delilah. And Delilah was this pawn of the Philistines who eventually betrayed him. Well, because Samson let sin rule in his life, his ending was not a happy one. I mean, his sin rendered him impotent. And we see that in Judges 16, verse 19. We're all familiar with the story. And having put him to sleep on her lap, Delilah, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so begun to subdue him. And then his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out like the other times," and I think it was, what, 7 other times that happened, "and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. I mean, that's sad, but it's true. Samson fell asleep in the lap of Delilah. He was a powerful man, but he woke up a powerless and a pitiful man. I mean, sin had so deadened Samson's spirit, he wasn't even aware that the Lord had departed from him. I mean, his sin resulted in his imprisonment. Verse 21 of Judges 16, "And the Philistines seized him, and they gouged out his eyes. Then they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at a mill in prison." And there's 3 things that sin did to Samson in the end. It blinded him, it bound him, and it broke him. I mean, many people who are living these wicked and self-centered lives, they think that they've got life in control. They think they got life by the tail. But the fact is, sin has control over them. If sin is in your life, it has control over you. And you can become spiritually blind and bound. I mean, sin made Samson the laughingstock of his enemy. And it will do the same to any of us if we give a foothold to it in our life. I mean, that's what the last holy days clearly showed us about sin. And in the end, sin repaid him with death and humiliation. Judges 16, verse 27. We see the end of his life. Now the house was full of men and women. All of the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were on the roof, and there was about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. And Samson called out to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me. Please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may avenge the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead of whom he killed at his death were more than those that he had killed during his life. If you think of Samson's life, it could have been so much more for God. But sin made him spiritually short-sighted. And Samson, just like us, was special to God. But Samson prioritized pleasure over purpose. Samson lived for Samson. He didn't care about anything else. I mean, he used his gift of strength to pursue his own pleasures. God had given him this great gift of strength, and in a sense, he used it just to glorify himself. I mean, what is the lesson for us? Well, we can fall into a pattern of sin, and it's usually ever so slowly, so that we will stray so far from God that we become oblivious when God starts departing from our lives. That's what sin does to us. It blinds us. I mean, we can walk right out of God's purpose for us if we let sin in our life. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Because there's something incredibly encouraging here in Hebrews chapter 11. Because of all the dumb things that Samson did. Verse 32 of Hebrews 11. "And what more should I say? For the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth and David and Samuel and the prophets. Through faith, they conquered kings, administered justice, received promises, shut the mouths of lions, put out raging fires, escaped the death by the sword, found strength and weakness, became powerful in battle, and routed foreign armies." I mean, here's a list in Hebrews of heroes of the faith. And by the grace of God, Samson finished his course. I mean, I'm sure he could have avoided a lot of pain and humiliation if he would have just walked in obedience. I mean, he could have enjoyed the latter days of his life as a ruler of Israel and fulfilled maybe his destiny without the painful prison experience. But you can't help but think, with his eyes gouged out and with his grinding, he was walking in circles, you know, pushing this gear thing to work the wheat. I mean, for hours and hours and hours, probably for years. I mean, he had to think, how did I get here? What happened in my life? But oh, the riches and mercy of God, that even in prison, God did not abandon him. And he is listed as a hero of faith. He continued, God continued to work in his heart. In his heart, and in the end, he fulfilled his purpose. What about God's call on our lives? Is it being fulfilled, or are we sidetracked by sin or sidetracked by distractions? And we are coming up on one of the most amazing holy days, I mean, where God gives us his very power to achieve his purpose for us in his life. And yet, just like Samson, we could let sin short-circuit that power that God is giving us in our lives if we're not careful. So let's not forget the lessons of the days of unleavened bread and purge sin out of our life so that with this upcoming Holy Day, really is going to open the lines free to God's incredible power that he wants to give us.